Hello, Radioland. This is WCOMLP Chapel Hill, 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Yvette Holder. If you enjoy this show or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. Tonight, we have a great lineup of plays for you. Our first play is Early Morning Appointment by Henry W. Kimmel. It is early in the morning, and Mrs. Cartee is waiting for her service delivery call that she hopes won't have an effect on the rest of her day, and possibly the rest of her life. Let me introduce you to the cast.
I'm Sharon Silcox, and I'm playing the part of Mrs. Cartee.
I'm Dick Hayden, and I'm Pete Wheatstraw.
Mrs. Cartee is at home, waiting for a service technician. She gets a call from Pete Wheatstraw, who is supposed to be on the way. They are both drinking coffee. There is a baby bottle beside Mrs. Cartee.
Mrs. Cartee?
Yes.
Pete Wheatstraw.
Oh,
Wheatstraw
hey.
Plumbing. Morning.
Morning to you.
I'm just calling to see if today's appointment is still good for you.
9 a.m., right?
Well, actually, I may be running a little late.
That's okay.
You sure?
Yes.
Because I just hate to keep my customers waiting.
This will give me a chance to stop at a neighbor's and, you know.
After you drop your daughter off at preschool?
Yes.
Would 10:15 work?
Sure.
You see, there's construction on the highway, and I thought I'd get myself a second cup of coffee and then go back to the store and pick up some product.
I'll make sure I'm home at 10.
Let's make it 10:30. Just to be safe. You know, because of the construction, they sometimes reroute the traffic through the city, and that could be a 20 to 30 minute swing.
That's fine.
Unless it rains, of course, and you know how the rain can do to traffic.
Yes.
You see, if it rains, I like to take my time, especially if I've got product in the truck.
I understand.
Yeah, you know, because the more you rush, the more you end up slowing down.
Shall we say 11 o'clock?
Well, that's a good guess. Except when I get back to the store, some of the guys like to engage in small talk. You know, nothing stuff. About the Tar Heels.
Or the weather.
Yes. With 3 days of rain, we finally have something real to talk about. Aside from the drought.
Mr. Wheatstraw.
Yes, Mrs. Cartee.
Shall we say 11:15?
With the way the Tar Heels are playing, I think it'd be safer to say 11:30.
Except I've got to pick my daughter up at preschool at noon.
I certainly don't want to keep you waiting from that.
And then I have to stop by the neighbors, you know, just in case.
I understand.
I'll be back home at 12:30.
That's right around lunchtime, isn't it?
Why don't we say 1?
Except the lines at the deli.
Let's say 1:30. Play it safe.
That is what I like about you, Mrs. Cartee. You're not like the other customers who get mad when I'm installing a toilet.
Both toilets.
Two toilets?
My husband.
Oh, yeah. He was the one. After watching that Nat Thiemann Home Fix-It show. I love Nat. But between you and me, you're better off calling a professional, because not every problem can be solved by a snake. Did I tell you about how I made 4 trips to your neighbor until we figured out the problem was not with his toilet, but with his diet?
Yes, you did tell me. Twice.
What has your husband been eating?
I really didn't think it was a good time to ask him.
While I know that some doctors recommend a high-fiber diet, they're not really thinking about what's best for your toilet. I mean, it's okay to have certain leafy foods, but I would avoid most all brand cereals.
Actually, my husband doesn't like me talking about any of this.
I understand.
Sometimes he loses his temper, but now he's learning to control it.
That's why it's good to call on an expert.
So, you'll be able to fix both toilets.
Absolutely.
Because I thought I made that clear to the dispatcher.
Oh, I'll speak to Jenny. She's a lovely girl, but she talks and talks, tells you everything you need to know, except the correct order.
And time.
Last week was my fault. I thought she meant a.m., not p.m.
I'm not really upset. It's just my husband.
Please, I know how men are about their toilets.
He doesn't like urinating in the backyard.
Did you tell him how urine keeps away the deer?
Shall we say two and not take a chance?
Well, I don't mean to take up your entire day.
No.
Because I know you have a lot to do.
Actually, I was planning to potty train my infant, but I guess there's no rush.
So do you want to say 2:30?
Actually.
The school bus.
Yeah.
I know how that is. The kids want you to be there for them, even though they don't want you to talk to them. Even when they're adults.
Mr. Wheatstraw.
Your infant.
Just peed on the rug.
You know, we do clean carpets.
Why don't we just start with the toilets?
Shall we say 3:30?
Piano lessons.
4:30?
That'll put you straight in the middle of rush hour.
Yeah.
Why
don't we do it tomorrow morning?
You mean and take all the pressure off today?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
I feel better already.
What time do you want to say?
Well, I'd like to get an early start and get it out of the way. How does 8 o'clock sound? A.M., that is.
Actually?
You've got to get your daughter ready for preschool.
Yeah.
9 o'clock, just like today?
Perfect.
And I'll call you first, just to make sure neither of us is running late.
I'll be waiting.
Mrs. Carty?
Yes, Mr. Wheatstraw?
It's a pleasure doing business with you.
Once again, that was Early Morning Appointment by Henry W. Kimmel. Next up is Eunice and Eugene, Trivia TV by Andy Rasler. The cast of this play?
I'm Rika Ashoba, and I am reading the part of the announcer and the voice from the commercial.
I'm Kurt Benrood. I'm reading Eugene and Larry.
I'm Abby Toot, and I'm playing Eunice.
I'm Dick Hayden, and I'm playing Alex Paycheck.
I'm Sharon Silcox. I'm playing the part of Soldier Number 2.
And I am Yvette Holder, and I will be playing Soldier Number 1.
We all know how entrancing, intoxicating, and exhilarating television game shows can be. Although Eugene enjoys just watching it, Eunice secretly lives it. This week, we again join Eunice and Eugene as they sit down for their nightly routine, their favorite television game show, Trivia TV.
Hurry up with them dishes, Eunice. It's time for our Trivia TV show.
Oh, Lordy, I guess I can let them soak for a while. That meatloaf really sticks to the pan.
Any food would stick to the pan when you burn it.
What was that?
Nothing. Oh, here it is.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the host of Trivia TV, Alex Paycheck.
That Alex is the best host. He is such a snappy dresser, isn't he, honey?
What was that?
I say Alex is a snappy dresser. Oh, my. The contestants today don't look too bright.
They never look too bright. Hell, I could whoop them all.
Oh, here they go.
You won the toss backstage, Larry, so you pick the first category.
I'll take Famous Florence's, Alex.
Famous Florence's it is. This famous Florence nursed...
Florence Nightingale! It's Florence Nightingale! Oh, Florence Nightingale! I always admired that angel of mercy. She went right out near enemy lines, you know. Right out on the battlefield for the British in the Crimean War.
I'm hit!
Medic!
Over here!
Oh, dear, there's just not enough for me to go round, but I must help our soldiers.
Oh, dear angel, you've come here to comfort me.
Drink this water, soldier. I will bandage your wounds.
The pain.
Be brave, soldier. Be courageous. We can win this war in Crimea if only we are brave.
You're such an inspiration, nurse. What is your name?
Florence. Florence Nightingale.
You have saved my life, Florence Nightingale. You are an angel of mercy.
It is only what our country needs us to do, soldier. I am not a hero, only a servant to the king. Now go forth and fight for our honor.
Incoming! Artillery coming! What is this? A woman on the battlefield? You must find cover, my lady.
I labor under the protection of our brave soldiers. I am perfectly safe under the British flag, soldier.
You've
been hit, and more bullets are flying. I must shield you with my body.
Our boys have fought them back. We are winning the day.
You have been wounded, soldier. Let me extract that bullet from your leg.
You saved my life, dear lady. What absolute courage, valor, daring you show. Putting my safety above yours, throwing your very body over mine. Who are you?
I am a servant of the king, soldier. That's all you need to know.
I have read your name tag, servant of the king. Your name is Florence.
I am found out.
I would be worm's food if not for your incredible bravery. I owe you my very life, my allegiance.
Your only allegiance should be to the king.
Of course, my Lady Florence. You are an angel of mercy. May I kiss you?
Your injury has rendered you quite insane, I'm afraid.
Your bravery cannot be argued. And now that I look at you, your eyes are like sparkling emeralds glistening in the moonlight. Your hair, the ebony black of night. Your skin, the alabaster of ivory.
There is a battle going on, soldier. We must fight on.
Not until I declare my very love for you. This instant. You are mesmerizing in every way. Please declare your love for me as I declare my love for you. Florence Nightingale, I love you.
I love every soldier fighting for his king and for the honor of his country. I love every audacious heart boldly joining the fray. I love England. I love my lord. And I love the calling he has given me and the gift to heal and nurse such brave, noble men. Yes, I do love you, my brave soldier, but no more than I love any other soldier in the trenches tonight.
Brave, noble, beautiful, and honorable. You are perfect in every way. And I will never, ever forget you.
Nor I you.
Will you remember me, dear Florence? Do you remember?
Do you remember, Eunice? Eunice! Eunice, are you even watching
what?
The show?
What are you asking me, Eugene?
What was the Florence that played the wife on the Brady Bunch?
That's a million-dollar question. It's Florence Henderson.
Henderson! I knew that!
Of course you did, dear.
Florence Henderson!
Hemorrhoids don't have to ruin your day.
Oh, don't they?
You flaring up again, Eugene.
What's that?
You flaring up again, Eugene.
It's nothing.
I'll get your cream.
The show's not done yet.
The commercial's on. I'll get it for you.
You're an angel of mercy, Eunice.
I am, aren't I?
Join us next week for the next episode of Eugene and Eunice Trivia TV.
And once again, that was Eunice and Eugene TV Trivia by Andy Rasler. The opinions expressed on this show are not of those of WCOM, its board of directors, or its underwriters. Next up, The Assaults by Marilyn and Selmy. The cast.
I'm Rika Ashoba, and I'm reading Tanya.
I'm Abby Toot, and I'm reading Shell.
I'm Sharon Silcox, and I'm reading the part of Ms. Withers.
Shell has talked Tanya into reporting an on-campus sexual assault to the newly formed Me Too-inspired Campus Women's Center. The action begins outside the director's office and then moves inside.
Come on, Tanya, you gotta do this.
I don't gotta do anything.
You have to. All us women have to muster the strength.
And you have to climb off my case and off that tired old white woman's rights feminist soapbox crap.
Okay.
It's not your job to fix this or me.
I know, but we can't let him
We?
Sorry, okay. This is tough. No, not even tough. This is...
Hell.
Yeah, hell.
Freaking hell.
Yeah, freaking hell.
And just so you know, you don't know. And I hope to Christ you never do.
But if I do, if this, any of it, happens to me, wouldn't you be right here making me do this?
Yeah. Of course, you know I would.
Well, that's why you have to do this so he can't.
I know. Do this ever again.
That's my brave girl. Sorry, woman.
So this is her office?
Yep. And remember what I told you she said during her speech?
With this groundbreaking proclamation from our esteemed university president, we are leading the way in implementing a zero-tolerance policy for any type of sexual harassment on campus. Blah, blah, blah.
It was... is inspiring.
No kidding. You recited in your sleep.
Do I?
Hell, and we don't use your phone recording?
Not unless...
Unless it's...
Absolutely necessary, I know. It's right here in my pocket, just in case.
Thanks, Shell.
Don't, really. You don't have to.
Yeah, I do. I don't like being your project, but I think... No, I know I would have gone crazy or crazier without you during all this.
Yeah, well, sisters gotta stick together. You want me to knock?
I got this.
Ladies, come in. And which one of you is Shell?
Oh, I am Director Withers.
Mrs. Fine, I don't get caught up in titles. I find them far too restrictive, not to mention the pretension.
It is such an honor to meet you. I heard you speak at the student center last week, and it was so...
Inspiring. So I've heard. Ad nauseam.
Did you attend also?
No, but secondhand smoke is powerful stuff.
A shame. We need to get all our students of color behind this initiative.
Exactly.
Why?
Why what?
Why is it so important we get all our students of color behind this initiative?
Miss Withers, you'll have to excuse Tanya. She's been through...
No. I recognize misplaced anger when I see it. Tanya, was it?
Yes, Tanya Williamson, the one I told you about.
Why are you here today, Tanya? How can I help?
She really wants to...
I'm sorry that she can't speak for herself. Ms. Williamson? Tanya? What are you studying, Tanya?
Political science. She's in the Honors College and is working on her senior thesis.
So you're very aware of the incidence of sexual harassment and assault is significantly higher in non-white populations, including the rates of victims coming forward with substantiated charges?
She is, Miss Withers. She knows all of this. She's from a good family and never had anything like this happen to her.
Unlike so many of our less fortunate sisters.
I thought you said she was cool.
She is. Miss Withers, this has been hell on her. She isn't, from lesser circumstances than some, girls or women of color. She's
basically a white girl.
Oh, well, I didn't mean...
So this can't be, couldn't be... Shouldn't be happening to her. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Yes, exactly. This shouldn't be happening to me.
Just like it shouldn't happen to any of us, Tanya. Not any of us. no matter our color or background or privilege or intelligence or lack thereof. But it does. It happens every hour in the lowliest offices, the dirtiest buses, the finest apartments, the most prestigious centers of government and higher education, everywhere. So what are you going to do about it? Why are you here, Tanya? Yes?
I'm in the honors program.
So I've heard.
And my senior thesis, it's on the various factors related to higher education completion rates among female students of color in traditional versus historical black colleges.
Excellent. I look forward to your thesis defense.
So,
Her advisor?
Enough!
I didn't mean...
Please, Ms. Rogers, it's important Tanya own this herself.
Own it? I know you didn't just say I need to own this. Damn! Who'd want to own this crap? Anybody out there stupid enough to take this on? The fear, the pain, the shame, the disappointment, the disillusionment in our whole messed up system? Tell me what woman in their freaking right mind wants to own this crap. No, I have no interest whatsoever in owning this. You can have it. Every last soul-eating, stinking piece of it.
Good. Excellent. And you're right, Tanya. 100% right. Nobody wants this, and nobody should. So, we can't do much about what happened to you now, but we sure as hell can do something about who did it.
It was
Ms. Rogers, am I going to have to ask you to leave?
No, you aren't. And she's not leaving. That's my call.
Very well. At this point, it's all your call. Do you want to turn this anger, this white-hot, righteous, pissed-off anger, into something positive, something productive? Or do you want to push it down where all that misplaced martyrdom nonsense so many of our women have practiced for years and years? Because we certainly can't hold our men accountable.
You know Dr. Smith, chair of the poli-sci department?
Simon Kelvin Smith.
The one and only.
But he's...
I know.
And he's won.
I know.
Oh, my God.
He ain't no God. That I can tell you for sure.
Oh, my God. And you have...
Proof right here on my cell.
How did this happen?
He liked my research. He helped me with contacts in all the universities. And he said I was...
The most promising student he'd ever met.
Said he could help me get my thesis published if I...
What kind of proof do you have?
So my word isn't enough?
No, of course not. It's just...
You actually think I made all this up?
It's just he's...
Dr. Simon K. Smith, shiny black example of this school's non-racist progressive scholarship.
Internationally respected expert, an example to millions.
I don't get caught up in titles. I find them far too restrictive, not to mention the pretension.
Enough. It's just so hard.
Tell me about it.
But they're going to insist on the, you know...
Proof? Here it is. Is this what you want?
Well, yes. Well, they will need...
I made her take my phone the last time. He was getting creepier. I told her to put it in her purse, set it on his desk. Listen, got it right here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So you recognize his voice?
Yes, we're on several university committees. Yes, it's him.
Did you doubt me?
No. Of course I didn't.
What happens now, Mrs. Withers? Are you going to call the...
Ladies, according to our new university policy, zero tolerance, you know, I'll have to contact the sexual assault officer on campus. Can I get you two to wait in the anteroom while I make that call?
Are you okay, Miss Withers? Are you...
Just a few moments while I... Simon, it's me. You're going to get a call in a few moments. You and me, we can't. You won't be coming over tonight. And I can't. Ever again. How could you?
And once again, that was The Assaults by Marilyn Anselmi.
The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour is brought to you by the Cary Playwrights Forum, where creative minds come to play. The Cary Playwrights Forum meets the third Wednesday of every month to read new original plays in various stages of development. Local playwrights and actors are invited to drop in, share their talents, and share their feedback. Also, if you have an original play you want to hear performed live on the radio, we want you to share it with us. We at the CPF Radio Hour can do full productions or cold readings of short original plays. For more information on submitting your original work for the radio, visit www.caryplaywrightsforum.com. Click on the Upcoming tab and click on CPF Radio Hour. Next up, Who Cooks for You? By Eric Weil. Our cast.
I'm Dick Hayden, and I play Stan.
I'm Ruka Shuba, and I play Tracy.
I'm Kirk Benrood. I'm an owl. Hoo-hoo! Hoo-hoo! Stan and Tracy are on vacation in a cabin in the mountains. It's evening, and they have just arrived.
Oh, Stan, what a lovely little cabin in the woods.
It looks nice enough, Tracy, but it sure is way out in the woods and way up in the mountains. No TV. Seriously?
It's perfect for a romantic getaway weekend. We'll hear the birds.
Yeah, okay. Birds.
It'll be soothing to be out of the city. Restful.
If you say so.
Now don't start in on how I dragged you out here in the deep, dark forest against your will.
Sure, as long as you don't deny that that's exactly what you've done.
We needed to get away.
You needed to get away. I happen to like our home.
I like our home, too. But if we had stayed home, you would be doing exactly what you do every weekend. Planting yourself in your man cave, watching sports and drinking beer, and eating junky snacks. We wouldn't talk or do anything together.
That's my getaway after a week of work.
I work, too. Sometimes we need to get away together.
We still do stuff together, baby.
That's not what I'm talking about, and you know it.
Oh, believe me, I know it.
We have to be with each other more than just in bed.
Is our marriage counselor coming to check in on us?
No.
So you brought us up here where they don't even put TVs in the cabins. Must be the last of its kind. At least we have indoor plumbing. And a bed.
Don't be snide. It'll be worth the drive up here.
So we can sit and stare at each other all weekend?
We can meet other couples at the lodge, at meals. They have games and activities.
Other couples? Games? Are you thinking what I'm thinking, baby?
No, I'm not. Don't even go there, Stan.
No naked twister?
No naked twister. No.
Great. I can hardly wait to play Trivia Pursuit with strangers. I know. Maybe we can start a chess tournament. That will be exciting. I haven't played chess in years.
Let's try for a more open attitude, okay?
Okay, okay. What are we paying for this cozy con anyway?
Don't worry, we can easily afford it. We'll open the windows wide and get the cool mountain air flowing through. If you don't want to do things with other people, there are trails we can hike for exercise.
All right, I'll walk in the woods with you. We can check each other for ticks afterwards.
We'll get all snuggly under the quilt. Oh, what a lovely country-themed quilt. It'll be nice, romantic, just the two of us.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
What's that bird? It's close, but I can't see it.
Some kind of owl. Where's my bird book? Somewhere in this purse.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Well, that's an owl, all right.
Here, I think I found it. The barred owl.
Let me see the picture. I haven't seen it yet.
It says, the barred owl's call sounds like somebody saying, who cooks for you? That's what I'm hearing now that I'm reading it.
Who cooks for you?
Yes, but not the way a person would say it. Who cooks for you? Like an owl.
Well, I guess I'm hearing that.
Use your imagination. Who cooks for you?
Okay, Tracy. The owl is enough.
But no cooking this weekend for this chick. I'm looking forward to a nice hot breakfast at the lodge.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
There it is again.
Who cooks for you?
Sounds to me like, who used the glue?
Who used the glue? What kind of bird says, who used the glue?
The same kind that says, who cooks for you? You hear, who cooks for you? And I hear, who used the glue?
You're just being oppositional.
Hey, you agreed before we left home. No marriage counselor talk.
Sorry. Can you just try to enjoy the birds, the woods, getting away with me?
If some bird book writer can hear a barred owl say, who cooks for you? Then I can hear, who used the glue?
Whatever. Look, they left some nice magazines for us.
I'm going to put my clothes in the dresser.
God forbid you should sit down with me and relax a minute.
I'm settling in for the weekend. You know I hate living out of a suitcase.
So put your clothes in the dresser.
Never have liked it. I travel too much for work.
I'm not stopping you.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
That stupid bird again.
It's an owl, and it's not stupid.
It's stupid. It's telling all the mice, hey, here I am. Go hide, or I'll eat you.
For goodness sake.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Again.
Ignore it, why don't you?
Two new blue shoes. Two new blue shoes.
That's not it.
I know. It's like the soup Nazi from that Seinfeld episode. No soup for you. Remember him?
I remember.
No soup for you. No soup for you.
Now you're the one being stupid.
That's real romantic. Calling your husband stupid.
No worse than making up dumb things for an owl to say.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Could Sue come too?
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
She's got the flu.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Whose crew wears blue?
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
Duke's crew wears blue.
That's enough, Stanley. It's saying, screw you! Screw you!
Tracy. Sheesh. Boo-hoo! Boo-hoo! Aha! Smartphone with every sports app. What? No service up here.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
And once again, that was Who Cooks for You by Eric Weil. And those are the plays we have on hand for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed our show. I want to thank our special guest readers, Abby Toot, Dick Hayden, Sharon Silcox, Ruka Ashoba, and Kurt Benrud. I am your host, Yvette Holder. Good night and break a leg.